All right, everybody. So I've had a lot of people reach out to me, giving me a lot of support for signing the People in Tech podcast. And I want to really first say thank you for supporting me. But this Anchor platform has been amazing and been changing my life, getting me connected with some people in this industry that I never thought I would actually get to not only have conversations with, but learn from. And I know some of you who are tuning in are asking, Caleb, how did you start a podcast? You know, when I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other places people listen to? How do I make money from my podcast? Well, keep it simple. The answer to every one of these questions is Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free. And we ridiculously easy to use. My very first episode I did for my iPhone 6 Plus. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors too. So you can get paid to do your own podcast. Hop on the Anchor platform so we can collaborate and build this community up. You know, one thing I love most about Anchor is that they're constantly being innovative, you know, allowing podcasts to leverage music, get sponsorship, get paid, and ultimately be the best content creator you can be. So if you've always wanted to start your podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and a diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Oh no, school's starting and you gotta buy a new computer. What are you gonna get? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Have you ever
felt? Are you listening?
You're listening to the People in Tech podcast, a technology show that's made for the people. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. We have another great episode in store for you today. As it is the end of summer, so I'm sad for summer 18 coming to an end. But we are going into the fall, which means a lot of my day one listeners are getting ready to go back to school. So some of you guys have reached out to me and actually asked me on Twitter some advice about purchasing a computer and which one should you get. Should you get the top of the line MacBook Pro? Should you get the mid-tier Mac? Should you get an iPad? Should you get a PC? Should you not get a computer at all? Can you do everything on your phone these days? Those are all very good questions, and I actually want to dedicate a whole episode going over some of the things, and really just, I'm going to say 7 things you need to look for when buying a new computer. Let's get into it.
Hey day one listeners. I am excited about today's episode. I've been using the same HP laptop and my battery dies if it's not plugged in. Caleb, did you see the new MacBook refresh? They now have 32 gigs of RAM. I'm sure PC users are laughing since they have had that for a long time. I'm going to be completely honest, I am not sure what RAM does for me as a user.
No worries, Sharon. That's actually something we're going to be covering throughout this episode. And for all the day one listeners, I just want you guys to understand, there are tons of lists online that suggest which computer you should buy, but there are so many great computers out there that any list is incomplete. So you're better off knowing what would cater to your specific needs. That way, you can look up the right computer for you. Even if it's not found in hundreds of roundups online, if you know what you're looking for and what you need and what you need to use it for, you'll be in a good spot. So throughout this episode, I'm pretty much going to go over common categories I see. And we're going to start with my favorite, which is the high-end specs. And we're going to work our way down, and we're going to address different scenarios for different people.
Is high-end spec like your MacBook Pro?
Yes, it is, Sharon. And you know what? That's where we're going to start today's episode. So I just want to give the day one listeners a breakdown. For today's episode, I'm going to be talking about high-end, mid-range, low-spec. And then I'm going to go over some of the common questions I get, like what is RAM? What is a processor? Why do I need to care about storage? What about the size of the computer, and then any other thing to think about, like, should I get, a laptop with better screen resolution? Should I get a desktop? Does a laptop make more sense for me. So we're going to cover all those things. But let's start off, since Sharon called us out, about high-end specs. Now, for the three tiers that we're going to cover, let's break it down and keep it simple. We're going to talk about who it's for, the price, CPU, RAM, storage, and then if I have to mention anything about size and weight depending on the tier. Now, we're talking about high-end spec. We're talking about professionals. So in terms of who it's for, it's pretty much for anyone who wants the smoothest, most performant, no matter their cost type of computer. I'm talking about your power users. I'm talking about the people who have hundreds of open web browser tabs and they can't manage all of them and they're running several apps at once. I'm talking about they got their code editor up, they got Photoshop, they got Slack, you know, they got Final Cut Pro, they're watching YouTube videos while they're running iTunes, and you know, they probably have some not suitable for work content up, like, or actually, I don't really want to get into it, but you guys get the idea. It's pretty much for anybody with low patience for waiting for the computer to work. So when I think of high-end computer, I'm talking about professionals. And I've actually had some people come up to me and talk to me about, hey, Caleb, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be a vlogger. You know, I want to start making code tutorials like you and your team is doing right now. And I'm like, hey, man, all for it. Get a computer that can handle the job. Yeah, ultimately, the computer is a tool, and you want the tool to work for you. Now, in terms of price, this one's interesting because it's high-end, so it's like anything else. But bare minimum, I'm going to say $1,500. $1,500 is a lot. Like, especially if you're in college, like, you ain't making any money. You broke. You eating Top Ramen. After, you know, the funny thing about college for me was, like, after that first week where they show you, like, oh, here's the cafeteria. We have all this top-of-the-line food. And it's like, you're not gonna have to worry about your kid. And then, like, once the parents leave after move-in weekend, then they start showing the regular food, and you're just kind of like, holy crap, I actually do have to go out to get good food. And when you're talking about getting a computer, $1,500 is a lot of money. Because I could be using that money on partying, shopping, which I wasn't doing a lot of. But, you know, when you're in college, you know, money is important, and because you're not making it. And you can only ask your parents for so much without a semester without getting in trouble, right? So I'm going to say $1,500 is probably your bare minimum starting point for your high-end computer. You can get MacBook Air like I did around that price. You can get top-of-the-line Dell. You know, there's some really good products out there. But in terms of specs, so we said around $1,500 and up. For the CPU, Core i7 processor and up. I've only worked with Intel processors. I never had a computer with AMD. Not hating on AMD, but I just don't know nothing about it, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I do. In terms of RAM, 16 gigs of RAM and up. In terms of storage, 250 gigs of SSD. Keyword is SSD, solid state drive. You're going to want that. And combining that with a cloud solution like Dropbox or iCloud or anything like that, and I will always recommend to my day one listeners to have an external hard drive as well. Probably gonna have plenty of storage where you really shouldn't be in a situation where if you lost one, you lose all your data. And then in terms of size, you know, just think of it like the thinner and lighter the laptop usually costs more, but you're not gonna have as much power. And the bigger and heavier the computer is, doesn't cost as much, but you're going to have way more power. Now, that's one reason that I love the MacBook Pro, is that it's still pretty small, but you get a lot of power in a computer. But there's a lot of other great computers out there. Like, I know Dell has an XPS laptop and had, like, 32 gigs of RAM. And I think, like, grand total was, like, 2,200. So there's some great products out there, depending on what you're trying to do. Now, we talked about the high-end spec. Those are for professionals. Let's talk about mid-range spec. These are really computers for professionals, power users on what I like to call a budget. You know, the whole you make money, you save money, but you can't spend all your money because you ain't got it like that. Well, I was like
a mid-range spec person for the very long... I'll take it back. I am still a mid-range spec person, because when I got my MacBook Pro, I couldn't get all the high-end specs. I got the ones that were important to me, and again, me being a professional, doing the podcast, doing video editing, doing code tutorials, you know, all these different things, I wanted a computer that fit my needs, but by no means do I have the top-of-the-line, but all the high-end spec computer. Piece of advice for anyone tuning in, if you do want a high-end computer, try to get last year's model. You will find that you would get it at such a huge discount if you just get the 2017 versus the 2018 model. Mainly because Moore's Law, technology doubles, but in reality, similar to a used car, if you get the 2014 BMW and get the 2015 BMW and find out they actually look identical and the only difference is the actual year, then get the cheaper one. But going back to mid-range specs, who is this for? Professionals on a budget. Those with patience who run a lot of apps, web browser tabs, apps, maybe they do a little Final Cut Pro, maybe they do some Photoshopping, but it's also a great computer for the casual user who doesn't use computers, but when they do use it, they want that smooth performance. Now, in terms of price, we're talking anywhere from $500 to $1,000. You can get a used Apple computer around that price. You can get a MacBook Mini if you want to say an Apple ecosystem. If you don't care for Apple, then you can get a lot of great computers from Dell, HP, Samsung. The list goes on and on. Now, in terms of specs, talking about CPU, Core i5 processor, which is the mid-tier. Again, mid-range, mid-tier. i7 is top of the line, i5 is in between, i3, don't get it. That's just my experience. Take it or leave it. In terms of RAM, 8 to 16 gigs of RAM. Now, to give you an idea, when we talk about size, when I got my MacBook Pro, I got an i7, I had 16 gigs of RAM, I had 512 SSD. I also had to spend close to $2,000 to get that one. Again, I got last year's model. The current model at the time was about $3,500. Now, when I got my MacBook Air, I got an i7, but I didn't get 16 gigs of RAM. I got 8 gigs of RAM because that's the most RAM you can get in the MacBook Air. However, my MacBook Air, because it was thinner and lighter, the battery lasts longer. So you just have to identify your pros and cons. Sometimes you have a beefier computer, but it might take up more resources. You might have to be wall-hugging just to make sure you can get all your stuff done. So that's something to consider. Now, in terms of low-end spec, who is this for? Definitely not for me. But I'm not going to lie. At one point, earlier in my career, I was all about being frugal, aka I didn't have money to get a MacBook. I didn't know anything about getting deals online before Amazon was even a thing, before people even Googled to compare prices. You know, my first computer was a Dell, and I think that was around $500. And then, you know, year after year, just slowly upgraded, finally pulled a trigger on a MacBook Air. Still have that till this day. Finally decided that, hey, look, I'm going to start creating content for my day one listeners, and I want them to, you know, have a high quality product, and I'm going to need a tool to do that. So I finally said I'm going to get myself a MacBook Pro. But that took several years to get to that point. If you're starting off, if you're in college, you know, do what you can do, man. But trust me, like, you can get a good computer anywhere from $400 to $700. Now, when we're talking about low-end spec, we're talking about people who don't use computer that often. When they do, it's for things like email, general web browsing, shopping, home-related tasks like tax apps, and so on. This can work for power users on a budget, but they're just going to need patience. Like, you're going to start up something, you're going to be like, why does it take so long? You know, if you're a power user but you're just not in a hurry, then you might be able to get away with this. Again, maybe you don't use it that often. Maybe it's just a computer you use at home, but your computer at work is just beefy. Same thing if you're in college. Maybe you have the computer commons where you can use one of their computers. And you're like, oh, I do all my homework there because that's where I can focus. But if I have to go home and turn in an assignment at midnight, I use my computer. Something like that. Who knows? Now, in terms of price, again, $400 to $700. CPU, This is the baby one. So this is going to be a Core i3 processor. I say avoid it if you can, because you're just, once you get an i7 and then you see an i3, you're just going to be like, oh my god, just a night and day difference. But if you've never had an i7 and you haven't had the experience of using a computer with an i7 processor, then you might not even notice the speed difference to an i3. So maybe you can get away with an i3. I've never used one, and the ones I've seen, I couldn't do it. Sorry, guys. Can't. Now, in terms of RAM, 48 gigs of RAM. Again, these are the people doing very basic operations. They're not even talking about building anything on a computer. They just need to check, maybe do a little shopping, a little internet browsing. Very basic task. And in terms of size and weight, similar idea. You can get something thin and light, or you can get something big and heavy. This depends if you want something like battery life and convenience, or if you want something big and bulky. But in that case, if you're doing big and bulky, I think you're really trying to save money. Like, you get a desktop, I think, for like $200 now, but you can get the laptop for $400 and be mobile.
Wow. Caleb, you covered a lot. I still don't understand what RAM is. Does the computer processor make a big difference? What else do I need to consider?
Well, Sharon, you ask and you shall receive. So let's start off with a basic question that I get a lot of times, and that is, what is RAM? What does RAM even stand for? So RAM stands for Random Access Memory. It's the short-term memory for your computer that stores the apps that you're using actively or have open in the background at any given time. So the more stuff you do in those apps, like several open web browser tabs, the more RAM you need. Some might argue the amount of RAM a computer has can actually be more important than what the processor and power it has. So the thinking here is that the common basic apps that you're running on a computer, like web browser or Microsoft Word, don't actually require a lot of processing power. Basic apps will run fine on low power processors, but to perform very slow if you don't have enough RAM. So, in my opinion, the standard RAM amount is about 8 gigs these days. If you're anything under 8 gigs, you are going to have a slow computer. You're going to have to be the person where you only run like Google Chrome and you close it and you open up Word and you close Word and go back to Google Chrome. 8 gigs of RAM should be able to give the casual computer user a good experience. Now, personally, I won't buy a computer if it has less than 16 gigs of RAM. Having more RAM than you think you need has been invaluable in my experience. I'm a very, very impatient person when it comes to my computer, and I need the freedom to have as many open browsers, tabs, apps, Slack, you know, Photoshop, Final Cut Pro, GarageBand, any of the things. Like, guys, like right now, if I look at my computer, I have iMessages up, I have Safari with at least 12 tabs, I have YouTube up on the other screen watching my workout videos, I have GarageBand as I'm recording this one, and I have Pages open working on my graduate paper. I need 16 gigs of RAM just to do what I have to do. But that's just me. Depending on what your needs are, you might not need 16 gigs. 8 gigs is pretty good. I had a MacBook Air for 5 years, and 8 gigs was doing perfectly fine for me. I even actually started some of the podcast episodes on that MacBook Air and didn't have issues, really. I just wanted something more beefy to actually make the process a little bit easier. Oh, and forgot, Sharon, you did mention that the computer processor make a difference. So let's see how I can describe this here. So once you've established how much RAM you think you need, and then double it, the CPU processor should be the next spec you look at. Many of the computers you'll be looking at will come with CPUs from Intel. They generally come in more or less easily discernible performance packages. So again, we talked about the i3, the i5, and i7. i3 being the lowest, i5 being mid, i7 being top of the line. I think in 2018, I've seen some computers that have, I believe, i9s, but I mean, let's just not even talk about those. Those are like some super computers, and I would love to have an i9, but I don't even know what computer has that. I'm sure you would have to buy the chip itself and install it yourself. But anyways, with Intel's latest 8th generation of their CPUs, almost all of its models have at least 4 cores. Now, if you don't know what that means, go on YouTube. I'm not describing computer science because, again, this is a tech show for people who are in tech, interested in tech, or want to know about the topic related to tech. But just for your basic knowledge, understand that most models have at least 4 cores, including the low-power Core i3 model. Higher-end models have 6 or more cores. The more cores a CPU has, the faster it can open and run several apps at the same time. With that in mind, a Core i3 will actually suit a lot of people for basic tasks, more so than the previous versions of Core i3s. So, like anything else, I said this is Intel's 8th generation of CPUs. Every generation, like anything else, it gets a little bit better and a little bit faster. Now, in my opinion, the reason why you want a mid-range Core i5 or high-end Core i7 like your boy is if you want to open and run many apps at the same time even faster. I'm talking Usain Bolt fast. I'm talking Sonic the Hedgehog fast. I'm talking, what's that guy from Looney Tunes? The Roadrunner. I'm forgetting. But you gotta know what I'm talking about. Like, you want speed. Speed is important to you. You wanna be able to do multiple things. You wanna multitask. You wanna have 5 YouTube videos up while you're writing some paper, while you're editing a podcast. Whatever it is, you want more speed. And as it is with RAM, casual users who don't really use computers that often will find an i3 CPU to be fine. But those who use computers a lot, maybe you're a college student, maybe you're a YouTuber or vlogger, if you're on your computer for a few hours throughout the day, you're probably going to want an i5 and up. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. My fiance, she had an HP and she has an i3. Now, she has a desktop at work, and when she's at work, she does her job, and that's her computer. That computer, I'm pretty sure, is more beefed up compared to her computer at home. When she gets on her computer at home, she's really only doing very basic stuff. Now, I let her use my MacBook Air, and now pretty much that's her computer, and she exclusively uses it, and she's like, I remember she even made this comment. She's like, I just love it because when I open it up, I can open a browser and it just works. She's like, nothing slow, it doesn't freeze, it doesn't have to process, it's just constantly going. She's like, I was able to open like a few browsers, and she's like, my laptop computer, I get to like 6 tabs, and it just gets really, really slow. And depending on what the website is doing, what kind of information being shared over the network, yeah, you're going to need a CPU that can handle that kind of stuff. Now again, personally, I don't buy a computer or anything less than an i7. I want apps to be open. I want them to open quickly when I need them. I want them to do things as fast as possible because, again, computer to me is a tool, and the tools are supposed to work for you. So, for example, I benefit from using a Core i7 when I run a GarageBand or Final Cut Pro, or if I am watching a YouTube video how to edit something in GarageBand to learn like a certain tool or technique. And as far as web browsers, I have no time to wait for slow tabs. I have no time from switching from tab to tab when I'm researching something either for the podcast or for grad school. Like, for me, speed is very important. Now, some computers, they come with, remember, Intel's not the only chip in town. There's AMD's, I believe it's called the Ryzen processors. I really don't have a lot of experience with AMD's, so I don't want to speak on them. If you have an AMD, if you have a certain opinion about AMD versus Intel, hit me up. You find us at our site, peopleintech.us. Hit me up on Twitter, KingCaleb3. If you feel like I'm missing out on AMD, let the people know, because we are here for you. We are looking for feedback, making sure that, you know, I'm just giving you my opinion on what I think to consider, but maybe you have an opinion, a strong opinion about AMD. Well, we would love to hear it, is what I'm trying to say. Now, talked about CPUs, we talked about RAM, let's talk about storage. Storage has kind of changed over the last few years, but let's keep it simple. no matter what, make sure your computer that you want to buy has an SSD drive rather than a typical HDD drive. SSD stands for solid state drive, and they can drive the cost of a computer up, but they're much faster than HDDs, and they make a significant difference in how snappy your computer feels while doing pretty much anything, especially opening apps. So if you're on a budget, some computers come with both a small capacity SSD for the operating system and apps and a large capacity HDD for big files like photos and videos. You could always get a computer with decent capacity SSD and get an external hard drive for bigger files. So again, let's say you wanted a MacBook Air, but you can only afford a 128 gig SSD. Get that, buy an external hard drive for $50. Anytime you need to put, let's say, a big video, or maybe you went on a Grand Canyon trip and you just recorded everything and you got 5 hours of you hiking, and you're like, I'm going to have to save this and watch it 15 years from now, you know, all 5 hours, put that on an external hard drive. That way you still have the space on your hard drive that's installed on your computer. But as far as capacity goes, that really goes back to what are you using this thing for. Now, and again, I want my listener to walk away from this episode thinking, because we said we were going to go over 7 things, right? We want to talk about, are you a high-end spec person? Are you mid-range spec? Are you low-end? You know, between those, like, how much RAM do you need? How much, you know, like, what type of processing power do you need? Are you going to be opening up a whole bunch of apps? Are you going to be opening up a few apps? You know, in terms of storage, it's really up to you. Do you feel you need a terabyte of storage? Probably not. With external hard drives and cloud services, you probably don't need that much. But it might be up to you. I'm sorry, it is up to you. Lastly, what I want to point out is screen size. So when I got my MacBook Air, it was 12-inch, not Retina. And at the time, it was solid. But now I look at it, I'm like, man, like, I can't believe I used that as my main driver for so long. You get spoiled in the Apple community. But yeah, sometimes, depending on what you want to do, if you don't have multiple monitors like I do at home, maybe your laptop is going to be your main computer and you only have one screen, and that's the laptop screen. You might want to get a 15-inch computer. You might want a bigger screen to help you write papers, or, you know, maybe you just watch a whole bunch of movies when you travel on it. I don't know. But ultimately, the laptops these days, they come in different ranges, anywhere from 12 to 15 inches. And it in my opinion, makes a huge difference. Like, when I have a 12-inch one to a 15-inch, my 15-inch feels way bigger. It's also worth noting that some smaller laptops in the 13-inch range might not be available with the specs you want. So, again, my MacBook Air, 12-inch screen, only went up to 8 gigs of RAM. Couldn't even do 16 gigs of RAM. And I got my custom built. You know, in terms of SSD, when I got my Air, couldn't do more than 256 SSD when I really wanted 512. But I got my i7, so it worked out. But yeah, in terms of monitors, I would say if you are planning on using your laptop and only your laptop, get a bigger screen. But if you're planning on having like a computer setup, you can get any screen you want and just get a, you know, ultra wide monitor or two cheap monitors and just have dual monitors. These days are so easy to set up. Maybe you want 3 monitors and you just have your laptop as your computer that you can take mobile. And then the last thing that to me is not that important, but screen resolution. Depending on what you want to do, you might care about having a high performance screen. This is where Apple has the Retina and then they have the 4K monitors. And that's if that's important to you. That kind of falls into the whole high-end tech, high-end spec subject. But for me, when I got my MacBook Air, it's more about portability. So going back to the thinness and overall size. Like for a lot of people, I feel like the MacBook, not the Pro, not the Air, just the MacBook, is a really good computer. Because I think you can get that around $1,200. You get the benefit of being an Apple ecosystem, but you also get a high-performing computer, and it's super thin. It's really what I think they like to call an ultrabook. because they're extremely thin, extremely light, have phenomenal battery power, but they're not beefy. You know, understand, like, you have less power, which means you don't have, you know, maybe all the features in terms of spec. Maybe you can't open all the apps or do Photoshop or Final Cut Pro on that. But again, I know I'm using Apple, but computers and these computer companies, they tell you, like, you know, are you a Mac person? Are you a PC person? If you're a Mac person, you get the Pro. If you're a Pro, if you're a PC person, get the Windows because you're a Windows person. But, like, there's versions of Windows, right? You can get the top-of-the-line Dell with 32 gigs of RAM, or you can get the bottom-of-the-line with an i3 in it. Now, again, Mac versus Windows. Totally up to you. But you can mostly do anything you want on either operating system. It just depends on what you're more comfortable with. Now, in my opinion, Windows works very, very well if you do a lot of business-like work on your computer. Microsoft products, Excel, spreadsheets. If you are using your computer like you would at work, most companies, then I would say go with Windows. Maybe you're just comfortable with Windows because you've been using it your whole life. If you are more of a designer or artistic, if you're looking to do video editing and vlogging, then I would suggest a MacBook. I would suggest Apple because they have software tailored toward designers and creative individuals. This is one of the reasons why I got a MacBook, because it's easy to do things on GarageBand. It's easy to do things on Final Cut Pro. Now, I love the gestures. It's like they really make a computer for the user. Windows makes it for the business people. That's just my opinion. And also, it depends on what other devices you're using. So, me being an Apple fan, I have an iPhone, I have an Apple Watch. But let's say you hate Apple, and you have a Samsung, and you have a Galaxy Gear watch, then maybe you should go to Windows and stay in the Windows family. The whole continuity is a thing. One of the cool things about Apple is, like, when you save a file on your Mac, it's on your phone, it's on all your devices. Windows has the same thing, but you have to be in the Windows ecosystem. So it just depends. Like, if you have a whole bunch of other products in a certain brand category, maybe you just stick with that. Now, ultimately, all of this comes down to your budget. And the reason I want to do this episode, because I know a lot of my day one listeners are going back to college, and I just want you guys to be aware that if you need a faster computer, you're going to have to get more RAM and an i7. If you need a computer on a budget, then you might have to go down to an i3. And then just determine if you want something big and bulky or something thin and light but not as beefy. I would totally avoid anything i3. I'm sorry, right? Did I say that right? Yeah. Get an i5 if you're on a budget. Don't ever get an i3 unless you plan to never use your computer. And we didn't even talk about tablets. But my thing with tablets are just not at a point yet where they can do everything a computer can. Now, my recommendation is if you're getting an i3 level computer, like you're spending $400-$500 on a low. Did I say $400-$500? Yeah, I think it's about right. Yeah, it's anywhere from $300 to $500. Let's say that you're getting a low end computer, $300 to $500. I would say get a tablet instead, and get a good tablet. Because if you're planning on to not use your computer that often, then you might as well get a tablet that is very performant and works very, very well. But again, it all depends on what you're trying to do. I'm just saying, most people who are in the whole, oh, I'll just get a low-end computer, might as well get a tablet, because you're like, well, if you're going to spend that much, you might as well get a device that's more performant. The laptop, back in the day before tablets were popular, you would get a low-end one because you had, just so you can say you had a computer. But a lot of people, if they had, like, their tablets are outlasting the low-end computers. Like, a low-end computer to me might get 2 years, where a high-end computer, you might get 5 to 10 years. But that's pretty much all I have for you guys. I just wanted to do a quick educational episode talking about buying a computer, what to consider. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And I have one big announcement before we wrap up. I want to say thank you for all the day one listeners. Thank you for all the supporters out there. Now, I'm sure some of you have heard that Anchor has come out with a way for people who want to continue to support the podcast. So first thing I want to say is to those who are already supporting the show with monthly subscriptions, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because we want this to be 100% our full-time job, and we want to be delivering more content to our day one listeners, but we understand we gotta take baby steps. You know, we're still in a don't quit your day job studio. Hopefully we'll upgrade to a real studio one day, but for now, all the people who are monthly subscribers, thank you. Now, if you would like to become a monthly subscriber, you want to show support to the show, you want to enter some of our contests like the Amazon gift card contest, if you want to get special shout outs, if you want me to dedicate an episode to you, yes, these are things I'm actually considering doing. If you want to be on the episode, I mean, if you want to be interviewed and you want to talk tech with me, if you want to get behind the scene content on how I actually make an episode and what goes behind the design and thought process, all you have to do is click on the link below or just go to anchor.fm/people-in-tech to become a monthly supporter. Any support we appreciate, whether it's 5 cents, whether it's $5, whether it's $500, and if Warren Buffett is listening, whether it's, you know, $5 million, whatever, no biggie, we appreciate the support. That's all I got for you guys today. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Stay tuned every Tuesday, 8 a.m., for new content coming out. I'm out. Peace. Yeah.